Now we're talking about a very important subject. What is wrong with the world? Man is what is wrong with the world. And what is wrong with man? It's not a lack of education. It's not a lack of money. It's not a lack of opportunity. What is wrong with man? He's totally depraved. Spiritually dead, totally depraved. Now this is just not abstract theology. This is happening every day in
Nepal.
Right now. In
Nepal.
People are lying. They are cheating. They are stealing. They are sleeping with someone else's wife. Right now. What's their problem? Every part of man. Now we're not saying that all men are as bad as they could be. We're not saying men cannot do good things. Men do many wonderful things. Men can be kind. Men can help one another. Men can give money to the poor. So we're not saying men can't do good things. But we are saying this. All the good that man does not satisfy God. Will not earn his salvation. Will not get him the forgiveness of sin. So you understand what we're saying? Total depravity. Does not men mean that men are bad as they could be? Doesn't men mean that men can't do good things? But we are saying this. All men inside are sinful. Man has a PhD, but he sleeps with another man's wife. Here's a man that can't read or write. Here's a poor man that cannot read or write. He sees a little baby by the road. His heart is moved. He takes the baby. Takes it into his home. Feeds it. Cleans it. Takes care of it. Man can do good things. But they're not good enough to please God. They're not good enough to earn his salvation. They're not good enough to get forgiveness of sin. So when we talk about total depravity, all men in every part of their being, outwardly, inwardly, are affected by sin. They didn't learn it. They did not learn it. They were born with it. When they came out of their mother's womb, they had a sinful heart. Men are born with a sinful heart. They're not born innocent. You must understand that. According to Paul, according to Jesus, what is the problem of man? Number three, this is very important. The will is depraved. Man's will to say it's bound, B-O-U-N-D. That means it's enslaved. Now this is one of the most important points in the doctrine of man. If you don't understand this point, and you are wrong on this point, your whole theology will be wrong. What is the will of man? That is the power to choose. Man has a mind. He can think. He has a heart. He can love. He has a will. He can choose. If he wants to go to Kathmandu, he goes to Kathmandu. If he wants to go to Pogra, he goes to Pogra. If he wants to marry this girl, he can marry this girl. If he wants to buy this car, he can buy this car. But listen carefully. He can choose anything he wants in this world. But according to the Word of God, he cannot choose God. One man. I'm not talking about Jesus. One man had absolute freedom of will. Who was that? Adam. In the garden, he was sinless. His mind was clear. His heart was clean. His will was free. He could freely choose God or could freely choose sin. He had absolute freedom of will. What do we mean by that? Without any outside influence, he could freely choose good and evil. He could freely choose God or the devil. He could freely choose to obey or to disobey.
उसले चाहिँ आज्ञाकारी गर्न र अनाज्ञाकारी गर्न
He was a free man.
ऊ चाहिँ एकदम स्वतन्त्र मान्छे थियो
His will
उसको इच्छा
was free.
पूरा स्वतन्त्र थियो
As an act of his will.
तब उसको आफ्नो कार्यलाई इच्छाको कार्य चाहनालाई
He chose to disobey.
उले चाहिँ अनाज्ञाकारीतालाई चाहिँ चुनाव गर्यो
And listen carefully. His eyes were open. But his mind was darkened. His heart was hardened. Now listen carefully. His will was bound. And he became a slave to sin. And he had a son. And he was made in the image of Adam. And that sin affected that son. And it darkened his mind. It hardened his heart. And his will was bound. Look in the book of John. John chapter 1. We're talking about man's will. Verse
12.
As many as received him to chapter 1, to them he gave the right to come children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Now look at verse 13. We are very familiar with verse
12.
But we're not familiar with verse 13. Why do men receive Christ? Why do men believe? Verse 13. Read it. He's not talking about physical birth here. He's talking about spiritual birth. And this is what he says. Before a man can receive Christ, listen. Before a man can receive Christ, because he's dead, something must happen to him. He must be born again. And according to verse 13, it's not according to blood, that is physical birth. It's not the will of the flesh. It's not the will of man. But it comes from God. It's not by man's will. It's by God's will. Look in the book of Romans. Chapter 9. We're talking about man's will. Chapter 9, verse 14 to 16. Paul is talking about a great mystery. He said Israel rejected their Messiah. But does this mean the purposes of God have failed? He says, no, this was according to God's secret purpose. Because he said, it's not the children of the flesh that are children of God, but it is the children of the promise. In other words, even though Israel rejected Christ, this was according to the purpose of God. There is an Israel within Israel.
Yes.
Okay. There is a spiritual Israel within physical Israel. God's purposes have not failed. This is according to the will of God. Look at verse 8. It's not the children of the flesh, children of promise, of God, but the children of the promise. Then he talks about God's sovereign purpose. And he uses two illustrations. Jacob and Esau. And then he talks about Pharaoh. Verse 10. Rebecca conceived twins by one man, Isaac. Look at verse 11. Though the twins were not yet born, not done anything good or bad. In order that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who called. And God had a purpose. And it was opposite of tradition. Tradition said the younger will serve the older. But verse 12, according to God's purpose, he turns it around. And the older will serve the younger. Not because one was better than the other. Not because one did good, one did bad. Before they were born. According to God's purpose. He turned it around. And he said the older will serve the younger. Why? Verse 13. Because Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What is his meaning? I have chosen Jacob. I have rejected Esau. Before they were born. Before they had done anything good or bad. Not according to their choice. Not according to their will. Not according to their obedience. But according to God's choice. God's will. God's plan. God's sovereignty. Not according to man, but according to God's purpose. It's a great mystery. So what do people think? Verse 14. Is there injustice with God? What do men think? That's not fair. God is not just. What does Paul say? Verse 14. There is no injustice with God, is there? What is the answer? No. There's no injustice with God. God has the right to do what He wants to do. And so verse 15. He says to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. According to God's choice. According to God's will. According to God's purpose. And so what is the conclusion? Verse 16. Look what Paul said. What is the conclusion? Look at the verse. It doesn't depend on the man that wills or the man who runs. But it depends on God. And what is the conclusion? Verse 18. Look at the verse. So He has mercy on whom He desires, and He hardens whom He desires. So what do people say? That's not fair. What does Paul say? Verse 20. Who are you, O man, to answer back to God? And He uses an illustration. The potter takes some clay. He takes one lump of clay. He takes part of the clay. He puts it over here on the wheel. The wheel's turning around. He shapes a beautiful jar, beautiful vase. He takes it off, he dries it. He puts jewels in it.
What is it?
Jewels, diamonds. He paints beautiful decoration. He sets it over here for a special use. Same piece of clay. Takes another piece. Puts it on the wheel. Makes a common piece. No decoration. And he sets it over here, uses it every day. What does Paul say? God is the potter. The clay is humanity. From the same humanity. He makes some vessels for honorable use. Some vessels for common use. Some He fills with His grace. Some He fills with His justice. This vessel will glorify His grace. This vessel will glorify His justice. Now listen carefully. This is not what I'm saying. This is what Paul says. You may not understand it. You may not understand it. You may not believe it. You may reject it. But Paul says this. It's not according to the will of man. It's according to the will of God. What is wrong with man's will? His will is bound. It's like this. I've showed you this before. You ever seen a bird cage? A bird cage. In China, they have a lot of bird cages. They go out and catch birds in the forest. Singing birds. They put them in the cage. Here's a little swinging place for the bird to sit. Here's the bird. You see the bird? He's in a cage. Here is his food. Here is a little mirror for him to come look at himself. Here is the water. If he wants to go eat food, he can go over here and eat food. If he wants to get water, he can go down here and get water. If he wants to go look at himself in the mirror, he can go look at himself in the mirror. If he wants to go up here, he can go up here. He wants to go down here, he goes down here. Listen carefully. He can go anywhere he wants to go. Inside the cage. Did you hear that? He can go anywhere he wants to go. Inside the cage. Man can choose anything he wants to choose. Inside the cage. And what is the cage? Sin. Can this bird fly out here? No. Listen carefully. He has freedom of choice. But he doesn't have absolute freedom of will. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. If you don't understand this, your whole theology will be wrong. According to Paul, according to Jesus, man is in a cage. When was he in the, put in that cage? When he was born. He was born into the cage. What is the cage? It's his sinful nature. Man has freedom of choice. But he doesn't have absolute freedom of will. You understand what we're saying? Man can choose anything he wants. But he will only choose what his heart desires. His heart is in a cage. And he will only choose what his heart desires. He can fly anywhere he wants. He wants to go to Kathmandu. He goes to Kathmandu. If he wants to marry a girl, he marries a girl. If he wants to buy a car, he buys a car. He wants to go here, go here, go here, go anywhere he wants. There's one thing he cannot do. He cannot fly outside of this cage. Why? Because he's totally depraved. His mind is darkened. His heart is hardened. And listen carefully. His will he can choose anything he wants. But listen carefully. He will never choose God. Before a man can choose God, God has to do something to him. Before this bird can have total freedom of will, somebody has to let him out of the cage. And if no one ever lets him out of the cage, he cannot choose to fly anywhere he wants. And listen carefully. Man is depraved. Depraved. His mind is darkened. His heart is hardened. His will is bound. And if God doesn't do something to him first, he will not understand. He will not understand God. He will not love God. He will not choose God. Why? He's in a cage. What is the cage? Sin. He is in bondage. Can you open that cage? Can you set the bird free? Listen carefully. If you don't understand this point, your whole theology will be wrong. 99% of the preachers in Nepal, they're wrong on this point. For 10 years, I was wrong on this point. I began to study the Bible more. I understood the nature of man. The condition of man. The depravity of man. My eyes began to be open. And I began to understand the nature of man. Now listen carefully. You may not understand this. You may not believe it. But I'm telling you this. Don't believe it because I told you. Be like the Bereans. The Bereans in the book of Acts. Bereans. Acts 17. At Berea. What did they do? Paul came. He preached. They looked at the Bible. They listened to Paul. They looked at the Bible. Is this true? Is this what the Bible says?
Are
you listening to Paul?
Are
you looking at the Bible? If you're going to be like the Bereans, you can't receive just everything. Study the Bible yourself. See if these things are true. You must be convicted in your own mind. We are talking about sinful man. Spiritually dead. Totally depraved. Every part of man, from the top of his head, the bottom of his feet, inside, outside, mind is darkened, heart is hard, his will is bound, no power, no desire, no ability, no interest. When you are talking to a lost man, you might well be talking to this wall. Why? Because he's dead. And if you don't understand that, you'll never understand the power of God. And you preach a little bitty gospel message, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. He wants to save you. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He can't come in. He wants to come in. He wants to come in. But he can't come in. You must open the door. You are the Lord. You are the sovereign. So you pray a little prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart. I'm saved. Listen carefully, my friend. That's not true conversion. And that's twisting the scriptures. You hear me? Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I stand at the door and knock. That's Jesus talking. What door is he talking about? Is he talking about the door of a sinner's heart? No. What door is he talking about? Read the context. If you don't pay attention to the context, you will twist that scripture. And you tell people this. Jesus standing at the door of your heart. And he's begging you to open the door. Please open the door. Please let me come in. That's not what that verse teaches. And if you don't know how to read the Bible, and if you don't know how to study the context, you will misuse the scripture. You tell people this. If you want to be a Christian, it's easy. Just open the door. That's all you got to do. Just open the door. And if you open the door, he'll come in. Thank you. And you know what you do? You lead him to a false decision. And you give him a false hope. And you bring him into church. And you got a dead man. He asked Jesus into his heart. And now he thinks he's a Christian. And you take him right out there. And you throw him in the tank. And you sit him in church. But he never really changes. No heart for the word. No heart to pray. Still lives for the world. Outwardly moral. Nice guy. Still beats his wife. Still cheats at work. Still cheats at work. But he thinks he's a Christian. Why? Because the preacher told him he was. And why did the preacher tell him? Because he asked Jesus into his heart. Now listen carefully. If you don't understand the Bible, your gospel message is wrong. And if your gospel message is wrong, they'll not be truly converted. And if they're not truly converted, one day they'll go to heaven. And they'll knock at the door of heaven. Who were you? Lord.
Permission.
I'm a Nepali Christian. Why should I let you into my heaven? Lord, when I was 8 years old, I asked Jesus into my heart. And I was baptized. And I went to church. And my preacher told me I was a Christian. I never knew you. Lord, I asked Jesus into my heart. I've been baptized. I never knew you. What was the problem? Wrong preaching. Wrong message. Now listen carefully. True conversion is not asking Jesus into your heart. That's not how you become a Christian. And if you don't understand that, you'll lead many people astray. There's preachers that go all over China. There's preachers that go all over China. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He is knocking at the door of your heart. Do you want him to come in? If you want him to come in, raise your hand. Alright, let's baptize these people. Then they take pictures. Have you ever taken a picture of a dead man? Now this is serious. This is difference between life and death. Between heaven and hell. And if you don't understand man's nature, spiritually dead, totally depraved, mind, heart, will, affected by sin, you don't get them saved by having them pray a little prayer. That's not true salvation. So after lunch, we'll continue to study. But listen carefully. One day, you'll stand before Christ and all the people you preach to will be right there with you. And if you led them astray, if you preached a weak gospel, if you told them to ask Jesus into their heart, God's going to tell them, depart from me. And then he's going to turn and he's going to look at you. Why did you tell them a lie? Doctrine is important. Well, let's pray.